The Tom Woods Show, episode 1540.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're like me, when you criticize the Federal Reserve, you get all these lackey-style responses. Why, the Fed has made the economy more stable. You don't want to go back to the 19th century, do you? All kinds of arguments like that. Well, you can blow those and others out of the water with my free ebook, Our Enemy, the Fed. Grab it at ourenemythefed.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. All right, by now, virtually everybody listening to this program knows who Scott Horton is. He's been a major, major figure over at antiwar.com for a long time. He's managing director, I think, of the Libertarian Institute. But we know him primarily from the Scott Horton Show, which he's been doing for a very long time. He's done over 5,000 interviews on the Scott Horton Show. You can check him out at scotthorton.org. He has other credentials to his credit, but we want to jump right in. Of course, you should read his book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, because you just will not believe how good it is. But Scott called me today, and he's very passionate. You know Scott. And he wanted to do an episode. And it so happened that because of a scheduling snafu, I'm recording a number of episodes at the moment, but I didn't have any. I had those scheduled to be recorded, but I didn't have an episode for today because of, a scheduling problem. So I said, all right, Scott, I'll do it, but we got to record it like right away. I'll do it right now. Okay, fine. So what he wants to talk about is what he thinks we ought to be doing between now and November 2020, what he thinks libertarians ought to be doing. And it's going to become pretty obvious in a minute exactly what that is. But listen to Scott make his case. We're going to talk about it. And I agree with him, by the way. It's also my case. But Scott is the one who's really thought the whole thing through in great detail. And it was something I was going to do already, but maybe not with quite the verve that I now have, having talked to Scott. So, Scott, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom.
I am so happy to be talking to you, man. I was just talking to you on the phone today, as a matter of fact, and I mentioned something that you had not known, which was that earlier this week, I replayed the speech you gave at that Ron Paul Symposium in Lake Jackson, Texas, that I loved so much. I just loved it. And cool. So far, the listening audience is just berserk with delight over it, too, because we don't get to hear you do a lot of public speaking, or you do it, but the audience doesn't get to hear it. And, oh, you were just so on that day. I couldn't have been happier. And now here we are talking live, and we got an interesting topic for today. And I am going to let, Gene Epstein? Oh, of course you do, because you're debating. But why am I saying that? You're debating Bill Kristol
right
under Gene's tutelage there. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Gene just celebrated his 75th birthday, and I sent a video to be played at the party because I couldn't be there. And in that video, I said, you know, Gene, it really is great having a friend like you, you know, a guest on the Tom Woods Show who basically I ask him a question that I can go downstairs, eat a sandwich, you know, squeeze my own juice and drink it. I can go mow the lawn, come back up. And I put the headphones back on and I hear you saying, now, Tom, to answer your question, you know, even at that, but you got him beat, Scott. So what I want to do is kind of wind you up here a little bit. You set the stage for what you and I should be talking about today.
Okay. Well, look, it's the most important thing in the world. It's the biggest opportunity we've had in a very long time to make a huge, you know, effect on the political conversation in America. Another Ron Paul revolution, and it centered around the candidacy of Jacob Hornberger for the Libertarian Party nomination and then for the presidency of the United States next summer and fall. And the thing of it is, it's Jacob Hornberger from the Future Freedom Foundation is essentially absolutely great on everything already. And so, you know, he doesn't really need a thing other than the proper spotlight and the proper opportunity to explain to the American people at large what libertarianism's about. And especially because right now we are, you know, witnessing the spectacular failure of not just the policies, but clearly of the entire reputation of what has been known as the moderate, you know, middle consensus of the Bush and Clinton dynasties, essentially the conservative Democrats and the liberal Republicans, the neoliberals and the neoconservatives when it comes to, you know, specific policies, crony capitalism and war, that they've ruined everything and everyone hates them. And so the American people are moving further to the left and further to the right, when what we need is a new centrist consensus that's not around John McCainianism, but is around libertarianism, a common agreement to stop doing the worst things that our government is doing, instead of just fighting over, as Will Grigg used to always quote Vladimir Lenin, who does what to whom, or is it the other way around? Anyway, no, instead, freedom is the answer. As Ron Paul said, freedom brings us together. Freedom really works. That's why it's a good principle. It's because freedom is, you know, has worked in America. It's the amount of freedom that we still have left that's holding this society together. And that's what both the left-leaning and right-leaning sides of the American political kind of society ought to be able to agree on. Declaration of Independence principles. Simple as that. And Jacob Hornberger is the master of them, just as good as any of us or any of your heroes. I mean, he is absolutely awesome and absolutely worth putting all of our effort into supporting what he's doing here. Absolutely. So I'm really excited.
Well, I support him. I want him to win. And it doesn't mean that I don't think there are other perfectly good people I would also agree with. But he's just got the whole package.
He's just got the whole.
He's been around forever. I mean, he started Future Freedom Foundation in 1989, so it's celebrating 30 years this year. As you noted, he basically writes an article a day, so who knows how many thousands of articles that is. So he knows an enormous amount. He's able to articulate it very well. He's warm and charismatic when you meet him. He has a squeaky clean character. You don't have to worry, you know, there aren't going to be, 27 ex-girlfriends showing up with horror stories to tell with this guy. It's just everything you could ask for. He's got, as you were putting it to me on the phone, he's got this very square exterior, you know, in terms of his personality and the way he presents himself. But man, he's got a radical political program. And so what I like about him is that what he, to me, now see, the thing is, there are two things to say about him on this, because on the one hand, he is pretty well known among Libertarian Party people around the country, just because a lot of them have been around a long time. He's been around a long time. They've seen him for a long time, and they like him just fine. A lot of these people are not hardcore ideologues like you know, you and I are, but they like him. They know he's sound, and he's a good guy and everything. But to me, what he represents, even though you can imagine some party functionaries perfectly well, going along with him and being happy, to me, what he represents is the re-Harry Brownization of the party. You know what I mean? That going back to a party where it's not a matter of let's nominate some washed-up Republican again and again and again, but let's have a guy who might actually make people into libertarians, not have them vote for us and then 5 minutes later they're gone, we never see them again. You told me that Harry Brown was a major influence on your own thinking. I mean, if Harry Brown helped to craft a Scott Horton, that alone vindicates this kind of strategy in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that this is so important. In fact, in Jacob's first video debuting his campaign, I think he flubbed this line a little bit and said, we're not here to win votes. We're here to teach principle and that kind of thing, which is essentially assuming one side of a terrible false dichotomy. And so it's just totally bogus. It's not totally. It's more than half bogus that radicalism is contrary to the advance of the party in terms of electoral politics. However, and I try to do this on everything, whether it's the wars on terrorisms or whichever they are, Tom, that you got to try to always see the other side's point of view in the most charitable way that you can, right? So from the point of view of the pragmatists, they say, listen, a washed up Republican is great. It makes us look like we're grown professional adults and not a bunch of radical weirdos. And it, you know, brings in money from donors, and it gets us media attention for our brand name of the Libertarian Party. And there are things about that that make sense. And not only that, but on the other hand, the radicals, a lot of times, are radical in goofy, useless ways, right? And not to pick on Michael Badnarik, because I love Michael Badnarik. He's a great guy. But this example came up between Sarwak and Dave Smith in their famous debate, where Sarwark said, well, look at Michael Badnarik. He didn't even have a driver's license. He was so ideological. But that didn't really get anywhere with anyone. And the thing about that is, that's a good point. And I can see why, if you're Nick Sarwark, then that helps to reinforce your view that running Bill Weld's makes more sense than running Michael Badnarik's. However, that's the wrong kind of radical. That's not what we're talking about. Jacob Hornberger is a lot better at picking his battles. And the kind of radicalism that we're talking about, like with Michael Badnarik, it is about the constitutional law of the United States as being the charter of this government that it supposedly is bound by as long as, you know, we have this nation state here. It is supposed to be the law. And they're definitely both hardcore about that. But Hornberger isn't here to fight about driver's licenses. Hornberger's here to fight about the world empire. And he's here to fight about the central bank. And in a way where, and you already know, he knows how to explain absolutely about the boom and the bust. We're not here talking about, you know, we're just weird gold bugs and we have this weird thing about gold. We're here to explain to the entire American population, the central bank does not smooth out the boom and bust. It causes it. This is why we have to get rid of it. And we have another crash coming, and you all know it. And of course, if it happens during the campaign, then it'll look like a brilliant genius. Can you imagine if the crash of 08 had happened instead, the fall of 07, and Ron Paul had had that whole year to run on the crash itself? Oh my God. Anyway, so, but that's Hornberger's thing is he is radical, and we can go down the list, all of our different domestic wars, and including the supplier's war against the consumers of healthcare in this country, this horrible crony system that we have, this partially socialist, partially fascist type cronyist corporatist system of healthcare that we have in this country. And all of these things, that's the kind of radicalism that Hornberger represents is, hey, American people at large who don't even know about libertarianism, these issues that you care about, we have the right answers for you. And the right answer is we're going to stop the federal government from doing what it's doing. And that's the answer every time, of course. And we've already thought this through and we already have our act together. And Jacob Hornberger compared to Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I mean, give me a break. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I'm saying he's going to have a great time making a lot more sense than any of them and getting a lot of attention doing it and really winning people over to our point of view in a way that, and again, and you know, again, with the no offense thing, Gary Johnson is a nice guy. And I did try to send him some emails and talk to him on the phone. I didn't work for him in any official way, but I did try to advise him on some foreign policy things and stuff like that. Last time around. But I think we could all agree that essentially 2016 was wasted. That if we had had a couple of radicals up there who really, a couple of Hornbergers instead of Johnson and Weld, if we'd had a couple of Hornbergers who knew the really knew about and cared about libertarian beliefs and economics and everything to the nth degree, but also are really clued in on current events and what's going on in the world and what's important and how to jerk the chains of the left and right and attack the left from the left and the right from the right and pay each side backhanded compliments for not being as bad as the other on this or that and whatever. And we could have made such hay. I mean, running against Hillary and Trump, the two weakest candidates that either side had ever put up, the only two who could have possibly lost to the other, right? And we had that huge opportunity and it went down the drain. Sure seems to me. I know the LP says, well, they got 3 million votes, but like you're, you know, implying there, they didn't count for anything. They didn't really mean anything. They were just protest votes against those two instead of really votes for what our guys were doing. But anyway, here's the real point, Tom, of all of this is we're having this conversation right now. And I'm sorry I'm being redundant because I think I said this in the speech too. We're having this conversation November 2019. In other words, not in hindsight, but we have a full year to do this right. We have a full year to take not just our side of the movement or anything like that, but all the sides of the movement, the whole damn movement, every libertarian on Facebook. Let's all join the party, all of us, and let's elect each other delegates. Bring your girlfriends and bring your wives and your best friends and elect each other to delegate. Make sure that we all go to your state conventions and play that game. You know, I'm not a big believer in democracy and process and all that, but hey, at a state libertarian party event, every vote counts. Get in there, get the work done, and then we can make sure, and it won't be some kind of right-wing putsch or left-wing putsch or any kind of wing takeover of the Libertarian Party. It won't be like that. It'll be thank goodness, the libertarian movement at large, as many of us as we possibly can, we have all joined the LP. We're going to decide how to use this potentially powerful tool for what we believe in, and we're going to make it work. And just like Harry Brown did, and Harry Brown was the kind of guy who said, yes, abolish taxes. Yes, all of them. You know, he didn't sit there and say, oh, no, here, let me pander. Let me backpedal. Let me beg you. He was absolutely 100% hardcore down the line and in that perfectly respectable way. The same thing with Dr. Paul, of course. You know, Ron Paul's middle name literally is Ernest. And I think that's somehow not a coincidence. I don't know when they named him that. But the thing of it is that
mine is also Ernest. That's also my middle name.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Thomas Ernest Woods. Well, that makes sense then.
How about that?
Thanks for clarifying that. See? And look, I mean, there's a real thing there. It could have been you. But, you know, Ron, as an example of the kind of guy who, as you put it in your little talk, at his place the night before that event, when Giuliani said back down, he doubled down. He doesn't back down, not for nobody. And it ain't because he's a big swagger and tough guy. That's not his game. His game is just, well, you know, the truth is this, whether you like it or not, I think it's important that you understand. And man, that's powerful. We saw how powerful that can be. And we saw that Ron Paul did more in his two speaking tours on behalf of peace and liberty and sound economic theory in 2007 and 8 and 11 and 12 there in his presidential runs, and did more for liberty than anyone in the history of anything ever. I mean, other than maybe the signers of the Declaration of Independence for the way that they put it. So Ron Paul, second place to them. But I don't even think that. I think he did more and better. And unlike Thomas Jefferson, he never tortured children for making nails too slowly or anything like that. He's like a real hero. And so, yeah, man, on a scale of 1 to Ron Paul, Jacob Hornberg is a 9 3/4. Jacob Hornberg is absolutely worth our faith and our support.
Well, the way I think of it is this. For a long time, I had no interest in the Libertarian Party. The thing is, I know I have a lot of people listening who likewise feel that way, but the thing is, it's called the Libertarian Party. It exists. Like it or not, it exists. It's called the Libertarian Party. And it is the exposure people have to libertarianism, because they see, well, this is the Libertarian Party. This must be libertarianism. I mean, you can understand why somebody would think that. That's not an unreasonable thing for the public to think. So when they encounter it, it might be good for it to be of a hardcore sort that is the type that converts people, that changes lives, that makes people into fighters, that doesn't just make them cast a weak little vote and then you never see them at the party meetings again, but the kind of candidate who can create a Scott Horton through his, yes, frankly, intransigence on some things, because that
right.
draws people. Differentiation is what draws people, not trying to be as similar as possible, but differentiation. And so the Libertarian Party exists. It has your name on it, Libertarian, and we want it to, if it's going to exist, it darn well better be Libertarian. And given that right now, Scott, I'm pretty sure you must be familiar with this statistic. Apparently, the grand total number of paid members of the Libertarian Party is 15,000. I'm not sure people realize just how
I was told it was
it
less. 15,000. I was told it was 13. Oh,
it could have gone down to 13 for all I know. Now, do you realize that that's nothing? That first of all, a chunk of those people are already our people. A good chunk of them, I don't know the percentage, but a good chunk of them, or you know, would be people like us who want just plain old libertarianism. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. But do you realize that with those numbers, if we wanted to do this, we wanted to say enough is enough. Stop making libertarianism into a laughing stock and pathetic, but let's get back to something that's robust and fearless and inspirational. Mm-hmm. If we want to take this thing back, we could easily do it. If the people listening right now joined me and joined the party, we could easily do this and become delegates and go down to Austin. That's where Scott Horton lives. You can meet Scott Horton, for heaven's sake. You know, that'd be great. And choose a candidate who's going to represent us well. And incidentally, I've told people that, you know, the Libertarian Party set up a link system where, you know, you can recruit people through your own particular link. Well, I think, frankly, it does send a bit of a message to them if people join through the Tom Woods link. That does say something.
Right.
So the link, by the way, as you might guess, is tomwoods.com/LP. That's very simple, tomwoods.com/LP. And, you know, see whatever level you want to join at. You can join at the lowliest level if you want. You can be a lifetime member if you want, whatever you want to do. But tomwoods.com/LP, this is what Scott and I are going to be doing. Yeah. And we're going to be supporting Jacob, and we're going to be there, and we're going to do what we can. So if you want to join us, we want you to join us.
I just joined, and I joined through your link. I went to tomwoods.com/LP. I paid the $1,500, Tom, and I joined a lifetime membership to show that I'm serious about this. And, you know, as you were mentioning earlier, it isn't like some takeover doing this. All the people in LP love Jacob Hornberger anyway. I mean, I talked with Jeff Neal, who was twice the chair of the LP, a widely respected guy, and I think is much more of a serious businessman and a bit more pragmatic type than you or me. But he loves Jacob Hornberger. I mean, he didn't sign up for anything or anything like that. I don't want to speak for the guy, but just in terms of, you know, overall affection, there's no question that, like, oh, great, Hornberger's in it. All right. And I think everybody feels that way. Everybody loves him. I went on the Ernie Hancock show. Don't watch the video. We just argued over nothing the whole time. It was stupid. But the point is, I went on the Ernie Hancock show to beat him over the head and say, I'm conscripting you into the Hornberger army. And he's way ahead of me. He's like, let me tell you how much I love Jacob Hornberger, all right? And he's ready to do what he did. I mean, this is the guy that coined Ron Paul Revolution and the spray painted, you know, backwards love logo and all of that stuff and did so much work. I mean, he's the boss of libertarianism in the great state of Arizona over there, man, whipping a whole state of libertarians into shape, putting them to work for Ron Paul back then. They wanted to do it, don't get me wrong, but just he's a great organizer and he's already ready already too. So I think, and you know what? I didn't wrap this point up well because you know how I do. I go on tangents. I forget what the hell I'm talking about.
No.
But my point was that Sarwark ought to like Hornberger too. That the point is it's a false dichotomy that the radicals just scare people away and so tone it down to trick them into loving us or something like that. No, that's not what it is. Radicalism is the pragmatist answer. Radicalism, like Harry Brown had, like Jacob Hornberger is bringing now, is the right thing to build the numbers, as you said, to inspire people, to make real libertarians out of people, to build a real party. And you know what? It does go back to character. As you were saying, it's, and you have the same thing too. You guys are not counterculture guys. You're square, Toto, rocking, you know, a little bit older than me types. I guess he's a boomer. You're a little Generation Xer. But anyway, point is that you're not objectionable types to regular folks. You know what I mean? And he certainly is not. He certainly is, you know, absolutely, as you said, a perfectly acceptable character, essentially, to everyone, and not in a manipulative way, but just in a naturally disarming way. That he's the kind of guy, I think, who could tell a library full of old ladies that this is why we have to legalize heroin. I know it sounds crazy at first, but actually it'll really save lives, and here's how. And I think he can do that. I think he could make that case to anyone. I think he could make that case to a room full of ministers in any part of town, in any state in this union.
But not only that, he would be very good in the media, and you wouldn't feel like, oh gosh, you know, you wouldn't cringe. You wouldn't think, what's going to happen when he gets the tough questions?
Right.
He's so ready for the tough questions. He's fantastic.
What the example is, I always think of is, you know, that he would like say something about vouchers. There's some, not him, but that's like what, when a libertarian is speaking for us and you're like, don't say vouchers.
And yeah, right, vouchers, yeah, and then it's and vouchers. Go, no. Oh. Right.
That'll never happen with Jacob Hornberger.
No. Yeah.
Never.
None of this.
He's already,
DC.
He has been, as you said, writing about this stuff for 30 years, every day, got it right the whole time. And you know what? I want to mention this too. When it's something that's not necessarily a libertarian issue or something that libertarian principles will necessarily lead you directly to the right answer. Like, say, for example, Russiagate. Hornberger sees right through that stuff immediately. He doesn't fall for anything ever. He's right on the facts. He's right on the slant about what's happening every day in the news. Whatever happens in the news, he's always right about it. He doesn't ever go for, you know, oh, I get it. That was sort of a red herring. No, he doesn't. It's never a problem with him. And I read him every day. What can I say? I read him every day. And you guys can read him every day too. You can go back and read thousands of articles by him. And He's just on the right side of everything all the time. Oh, Donald Trump? Sure, there's lots of things bad about Donald Trump, but not this Russia gig garbage, let me tell you. But just like any of us, you know, as good as any of us. And so, yeah, man.
Well, let me jump in here for a minute, sure. Because one thing that I want to make sure everybody understands is that after 9/11, I remember some libertarians getting a little wobbly, but not Hornberger. You know, on 9/12, he was as hardcore as he was on 9/10.
Right.
And at that time when we needed those sorts of voices, and I am sure he lost donors and money and funding and all that by just continuing to be a libertarian and a truth teller.
Yep.
In a very dark time. I mean, there.
And, you know, part of why that was, Tom, was because he'd been predicting an attack like that for a long time. Because are you sure you think we can keep these bases in Saudi? These guys keep threatening us and blowing up our embassies and trying to sink our battleships. And I think maybe we should get our troops out of Saudi Arabia. He was saying that back in the 90s. So when it happened, all it was told you so, only really ugly, but told you so. And, you know, what's funny is Harry Brown was the exact same way. He wrote an article on September 11th, published on the 12th at antiwar.com and at WorldNet Daily, called "When Will We Ever Learn?" And which he got death threats and Lord knows what, and who knows what Hornberger went through at that time too. Because you're right. He didn't give an inch, not for one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you know what? We don't have an opportunity like this very often, right? We sort of feel, I'm going to pick on Rand for just one moment. I feel like Rand dropped the baton. I think that Rand is so stuck behind his own eyeballs that sometimes he just doesn't understand his own place in the universe, man. And what a great opportunity he has sometimes. And whatever, I'm not a senator. He's got to compromise something sometimes. But it feels like, you know, we really had a great representative on the national stage to really tell people what the libertarians think about things with Ron. And then when Ron retired back here to Texas, everybody was hoping that the boy would take up the mantle, and he sort of kind of did. And I'll definitely praise him. He's been really great on, you know, wars and things, especially in the last couple of years here. He's been getting better again, I guess. So I give him credit where he's due. But the point is, we really need someone who's really hardcore the way Ron was for really, you know, teaching our message to the American public at large. And electoral politics, presidential electoral politics, that's our single best opportunity every few years. And usually we don't have much of one, but this time we really do. And like you said, you know, you might really change a lot of minds and create a lot of new important libertarian leaders in the future. And who knows what could come out of this thing. And in fact, just like with the Ron Paul revolution, brand new groups of friends and networks of libertarians and new marriages and new businesses and all kinds of new wonderful things coming out of all of us doing our revolution together, you know?
Meanwhile, we need to point out that what could well happen in the party, this whole Lincoln Chafee thing, I mean, it looks like he's running because he just joined the Libertarian Party as a life member. He's registered LincolnForLiberty.com. There's a Facebook page, Virginia for Lincoln Chafee 2020. Mm-hmm. He's at Lincoln for Liberty on, I guess it says Facebook, but maybe that's also Twitter. But geez, and this guy, I don't know.
Mad at me, Tom. I sent him some Rothbard. So he might be good by the time we hear him say anything.
That's not impossible. However, you know, I've been burned on this type of character before. I mean, he's like the worst of the worst. He's like a liberal Republican. Like, I don't even know if those exist anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
So his merit is occasionally he'll say, maybe we should spend a little bit less on the military. Now, if that's your libertarian champion, knock yourself out. But there will be
people. What he's most famous for, right, was he joined the primary campaign with Hillary and Bernie in 2015. And then he almost immediately dropped out because he assumed falsely that Bernie Sanders was going to handle the whole anti-war angle for him. But that was the only reason he was running, was he was going to criticize Hillary Clinton on foreign policy. And if he had stayed in that race, of course, you know, he would have essentially been doing the heavy lifting for Sanders. And she surely would have lost. I mean, any kind of honest description of her foreign policy would have cost her. I mean, Sanders just held his fire the whole time on that. But anyway, he mistakenly thought Sanders was going to take that up. And so he quit the race. But that was his concern. He is an anti-war guy. And, you know, I sent him Rothbard, War, Peace, and the State. And, you know, and he is the kind of guy who says, And, you know, liberal Republicans oftentimes, Tom, they think they are libertarians. They think that that's what libertarian means, is liberal Republican like them. And they really don't know that they're not. And so they're the kind of people who say, well, you know, I'm a social liberal and a fiscal conservative and this kind of thing, where they don't really understand what libertarianism is. They've only seen it kind of from the outside and think that maybe it matches what they are, but without really understanding the roots of the thing. And, you know, I actually sent him an email and saying, listen, you got to not say that, at least if you're going to call yourself a libertarian and get this kind of attention. You need to understand that socially liberal and fiscally conservative, that's a pretty good description of a liberal Republican, which is your former identity. You're calling yourself a libertarian now. That's an entirely different thing. Here's what we believe. And I sent him Left and Right, The Prospects for Liberty, Anatomy of the State, and War, Peace, and the State by Murray Rothbard, and said, so this is really, you start with individualism and you figure the rest of this stuff out from there and get back to me, you know. And so I hadn't heard from him since then, but I figured if he is going to run, you know, I wasn't trying to hurt Jacob. I told Jacob that I did it too. I just want to, and you know, I'm trying to get talking points to Tulsi Gabbard. And if there was any other Republican or anybody in the race who I can help to get things right, I will. I mean, I would like to have a big fight between the Democrat, the Republican, and the Libertarian over who's most anti-war in 2020. Isn't that what you want to see? So I do kind of feel like I wasn't trying to help Chafee at Hornberger's expense, but I was just trying to help him at libertarianism, you know, for libertarianism's benefit. He's going to be getting attention calling himself that. He needs to at least have read Left and Right, The Prospects for Liberty, or one of these, you know, kind of foundational Rothbardian essays explaining who we are and where we're coming from. But anyway, I'm sorry, I go on too long. But he is a good man, I think. But I also think that Hornberger's just going to blow him away, Tom. That was the premise of your statement here, was trouble at the convention. No, I don't think so. I think all the old guard are going to like him plenty good enough. And all of us new guys, including all of your listeners, your loyal followers and listeners to this show.
Yeah, but that's my point. Like, we have to do something. Scott, the point I was just trying to make is that even if you think he's a decent person, I mean, some of the people they've run were, you know, Gary Johnson was a decent person. I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
My point is that if we, you know, if they nominate Chafee, then it's just going to be another missed opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So my point is, yeah, you're right. Hornberger should beat him, but it's not going to happen automatically. It's going to happen if people get off their rear ends and go make it happen. That's our point.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I think this is part of how Hillary got beat, was Donald Trump doesn't stand a chance, and then she lost. We definitely have to get the work done. I'm just confident that if it comes down to a fair fight, mano a mano, kind of between a more Chafeeite or Bill Weldian type rhino sort of candidate versus Hornberger, not versus any old radical in that spot, but versus this guy, yeah, man, I think that Hornberger definitely has the advantage. And I think that the pragmatists are going to understand that this guy, unlike some of the other radicals that you might think of, this is the kind of radical that we need. He's very constitutionalist. He's not an anarchist, and he's not in a contest to prove that he's more anarchist than other anarchists on the wildest issues and these kinds of things that people get bogged down in. He's not about that. You know, he's a constitutionalist, minarchist guy, but he's concerned about current issues in important ways, kind of a thing. And I just think he's the best guy for it by far. And that everyone will be able to see. Everybody's already excited about this, Tom. This thing's already kind of taken off. And people are going to see that they'll be reaffirmed in their choice here, that this guy's really doing a good job and he's going to keep doing a good job. But yeah, so this is really where your audience comes in, Tom, is I know that you've got like 50,000 listeners. And I think that the vast majority of them have got to be agreeing with you and I right now as they hear this, that this is a great opportunity. This is the biggest PR stunt that we could possibly do right now, to run Jacob Hornberger for president of the United States. And it's the kind of thing that we can all participate in, and we can all magnify, and we can all, you know, look at the Ron Paul revolution, how huge that was. That was 90% of that had nothing to do with the campaign. 95, it was just the people of the country who loved him, rallying to him, doing everything they could to support him. And so that's what it takes. It absolutely has to be a group effort here. And think about if we tried but came up short. We can't have that. Tom Woods and Dave Smith and Scott Horton and Michael Bolden and our whole crew, we join the party. We're trying to bring as many of our people as we possibly can with us to make sure to not just to have our way, but to try our best to do the right thing as best we can. And then come up short and try again next time. And that's not good enough. We got to do this. We have to make sure that if they run Bill Weld and Lincoln Chafee and everybody in the whole world, that our guy is the one, right? So yeah, that's the call to action out there. And I know that you've got 50,000 something people in your audience right now. And that's more than the margin. That's the majority. If they want to go down to their state parties and join and do the work, become delegates and join us, it'll be our party.
Well, that's it. I don't want this to sound like an infomercial here, but we're not selling anything. That's the thing.
Right.
We're not selling anything. What money do we make here? Right?
That's right. And you know what? I know I'm a real hard sell, but again, yeah, all I'm telling you to do is the right thing. I'm manipulating you into
doing what you know you should do.
Going and working for free for someone else who talks about liberty well. That's all.
Right. 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 I mean, if we wanted to get rich, there are almost any way other than this would be the way to do it.
Should be investing in these bubbles that I'm always warning about is what I should
I know,
be.
For heaven's sake, I should be subscribing to more financial newsletters. But look, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to advance the candidacy of Jacob Hornberger for all these reasons.
And we have a year.
And we have a year.
Think of what a great success that we can make out of this, guys.
The convention is May of 2020, just so everybody knows,
right.
May of 2020.
And check your local libertarian, your state libertarian party websites for the days of and times of y'all's conventions, which cities they're in your states. When are the deadlines? If there are technicalities where you have to sign up to be a delegate or these or those kinds of things, you're going to have to do all that work. But it's pretty easy, right? Couple phone calls, couple of email chains, and everybody's all set. And bring your friends and family, you know, bring your father-in-law. He's kind of a libertarian guy. He's cool, man. Bring everybody.
Yeah. It's given how few people we're talking about here, it's far easier than you think to just, the easiest thing in the world is join the party. That's the easiest thing in the world. TomWoods.com/LP.
Yeah, we really can do it. I mean, and I got to say, look, I'm already as blatant about it as I can be, so I'll be blatant some more. Never mind me and all my enthusiasm. You, Tom Woods, and Dave Smith, and your audiences, you are the key to this whole thing. You are Silver Slug 1 and 2 in the double-barreled shotgun here to get this thing dead, I guess, to carry out that metaphor. Yeah. To kill it to death. Hey, that's a mixed metaphor with comedy for Dave there.
To kill this thing
completely dead. He needs to get his whole audience, and you need to get your whole audience. Beat this drum. Insist and beg and cajole. Whatever it takes to get them to make sure that we do this well and do it right.
Right, right.
All for one and one for all.
There are numerous state parties where there are delegate slots that that you can easily get. That it's not super difficult. So, but you got to be a member of the party, and you can do that. TomWoods.com/LP. Doesn't cost you much. $25 is the lowest membership. I mean, what is that? $2 a month, basically. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Louder. You're going to
louder. Come on.
You're going to be arm in arm with Scott Horton and Dave and me. And we're going to be doing our best for a guy we love and we've known forever. And we can absolutely vouch for. And that's an unfortunate choice of words because of the way Bill Weld used that expression in the last campaign. But we actually can vouch for the great Jacob Hornberger.
Absolutely. Right.
What's your final thought for the folks?
Okay, so my final thought for the folks is I talked to Jacob today, and he had spent the day out on the ground talking with people, and he was just as excited as could be. And said he loves writing so much and the Future Freedom Foundation, but out here campaigning, it's really a special thing. It's like, here's my chance. It's an excuse to say to someone, hey, let me talk to you for a minute about the war on drugs, about the war on everything, about what ails you and why libertarians got the right answer for why we're going to stop making it that way and how we're going to stop making it that way. And it's great. And he's having a great time already. And I just told him, well, I hope you're ready for another 355 days of this, right? And that's the other thing is, unlike Ron Paul, who eventually kind of had to wrap the thing up, you know, during the general election after the convention there, he kind of held on for another few weeks to help his people organize and stuff like that. But eventually he had to phase out. Jacob's going to be in there all the way to November. We got a solid year And he'll be able to make such hay of both candidates and of all the policies and all the everything. I mean, it's just going to be incredible. The potential here is like an H-bomb, right? Who's feeling that with me? Yeah, it's just incredible what we could do, what we can do.
All right, folks. So this is what Scott and Dave and I intend to do. And by the way, not just us, any other libertarian personality, so to speak, who wants to come on board with us and announce that they're part of this, come on board and announce it. You know, or we're going to, Scott and I will probably call you. Expect your phone to be ringing. We'll be calling you to recruit you for this. But that's what we're doing. Okay. That's the plan. That's what we're doing. And this is a party that has the illustrious name Libertarian. This is a name we should be proud of, that we should not allow to be used lightly, that we should not allow to be used in a way that diminishes what we are. And this is not like some long shot thing that we're, you know, we're asking you to roll dice and cross your fingers. If we put our minds to this, this is not a long shot thing. Like, we win. We put our minds to this, we win this thing. We get this thing back, and we don't have to be embarrassed by it anymore. That's a big deal. And plus, we support a guy who will do an excellent job representing us. So if somebody asks him something, he knows the answer.
Yeah. And look, all of these Libertarian Party events that, you know, all, hey, beer, fun, friends, new friends.
Right, right. You think
know,
of it that
great
way.
Great people, yeah. Libertarians. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. You know what? I think the tone of this conversation is a little weird, Tom, because we're recording it at 10 o'clock at night. And so the attitude is a little kind of down in its tenor somehow.
It's more subdued than it should be because, you know, I have five daughters and I've been running around all day.
So, I'm kind of trying to keep it down, too.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to keep it down. And plus, we were talking
excitement.
First, you know, in this afternoon, and it was like fireworks were going off in
right.
conversation. But, you know, I'm an old man now, right? I can only maintain that for so long.
This is you and me under our breath here. But we mean it seriously, and I think everybody knows it. And I've met so many libertarians, and you know what? Everywhere I go, I like everybody anyway, but I like libertarians especially. And everywhere I go, you know, giving speeches or whatever kinds of things and traveling around, and meeting libertarians. There's so many good people out there. And all anybody wants to do is have a good hamburger and a beer and talk about the Federal Reserve with each other and make friends and see you next time and stuff. And it's great. It's just, it's community. It's good community. And what a great project to, you know, not just bring people to join our group for, you know, one or another purpose, but for the reason of spreading the evangel of freedom. You know, is that how you say that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. That's what we're
that's
doing.
What we're
so
doing.
TomWoods.com/1540. I'm going to link there to TomWoods.com/LP. And I'm going to link to Hornberger's site. Is it JacobForLiberty.com?
JacobForLiberty.com.
I'll link to both of those things at TomWoods.com/1540. All right, Scott, as of today, this conversation with you and me, it's officially on. All right, everybody, it's officially on.
Absolutely. It's on. Oh, and by the way, I don't think you have this problem, but maybe I need to make clear, I'm not speaking for antiwar.com or the Libertarian Institute, both of which are 501c3 organizations. This is purely a scotthorton.org type of a deal right here, man. Speaking for myself as a private individual citizen, separate from those institutions for these political purposes.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have any 501c3s.
The IRS has just terrorized the hell out of me, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
I am so sorry about that, Scott. But thankfully, I have no 501c3. So you could call this a project of Tom Woods. You could call it a project of TomWoods.com. You could call it a project of everything I have a hand in. And I have no problem
saying
that.
Yeah, there you go.
That.
You're still a free man.
All right.
You just have to pay more taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Scott. We'll check in periodically with Hornberger, see what's going on. But thanks so much for talking to us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. And thank you, all of Tom Woods' listeners who are going to join up and help us with this. And I don't mean that in the manipulative, kind of forceful, pushy way, but I just mean sincere thank you to all of those of you who are already on board or who are climbing on board now. It really means everything. It really does. So thanks a lot.
All right, folks, before we go, I want you to know next week, if you're listening to these as they come out, is the week of Monday, November 25th. And that entire week is the best week of the year. If you have thought about starting a website or a blog, it's Black Friday week at Bluehost. The entire week is when they have the lowest price of the entire year. So if you've been putting it off, you're actually rewarded for your procrastination. You're being rewarded for putting it off. But make sure you go and get your hosting through tomwoods.com/blue during that week, because you will not get a better price. And it's a good, you know, they're obviously a reputable company. And if you do that, you also get all my bonuses, which include I will help support your site by getting you traffic, by promoting you on my program. And I'll also give you some tutorials and get you in my private bloggers group, you know, where we help each other. There are a lot of nice bonuses you get for free when you just get your hosting. So you may as well get the hosting when it's the cheapest possible time. So if you were thinking of getting your hosting today and it's still Friday, November 22nd, wait till Monday the 25th. That's the week to do it. So for all the details on this, all the bonuses and the link to go get the hosting, the best place to go is tomwoods.com/publicity. I'll see you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.